It is a good day today. Nice day outside. It's going to get a little warmer later, but it is a good day to be here. When we discuss what the work of the church is, we generally speak of about three things. We speak of evangelism, edification, and benevolence. And Dan was asking me what the lesson was going to be about today, and I said, we're going to talk about building up the body. Now, I don't know if this is going to go exactly the way you think it will go or not, but as we get into the lesson, we want to talk about what it looks like when the body is being built up. And we'll talk about some things in that regard. But as we think about this, when we're talking about building up a body, a local congregation, one thing we need to remember is that we're not all in the same place. It'd be great if we all were. But we're not all in the same place knowledge-wise and maturation-wise. So there are going to be things that maybe suit some that don't, that are reminders to others, and we need to be mindful that what we're striving to do is build up the entirety of the group so that we're all at a really high level. And as we think about those things, as we consider that in our lesson today, I want to think about some terms. These three words kind of carry with them the general connotation of building up. The first word, oikodomeo, is translated best to build a house, erect a building. Metaphorically, it is used to found, establish, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness, to grow in wisdom and piety. That's how Thayer defines it. If we looked in the New Testament, we would look in places like Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, verses 1 and 10, 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 1 Corinthians 14:4 as well. In all these places, we'll find the word used. We'll find it translated to English a little differently in some places. Some places it will be translated building up. Some places it will be translated edify or edification. The word is meant, and we get our word edifice from this very concept, this very word. To build a house, to erect a building. That is an edifice. And maybe not a word we use much today. But when we consider that word in the Greek, when we see the apostles use that word, we see others use it as well, what they're talking about is they're talking about not building a physical building. They're talking about building a spiritual building. The spiritual building they're building is individuals, strengthening them in the Lord. They're not talking about building a five-story apartment building. They're trying to build an individual who is strong enough to withstand the wiles of the devil all of the days of their life. A couple other words that kind of are companion terms, I don't know if you want to, you may not consider them companion terms, but this Greek word, and I have to go over these in my head. Even in my head, as I get ready to say them, I have to slow down. Episteristo, I believe is how you pronounce it. I don't know that I've gotten that right. I may not have. But that word is most commonly used confirm in the New Testament. It is to make, to lean upon, to strengthen. Now with that, you take that companion term and put it with oikodomeo, which is building one up. What do you do? You're not, when you're building one up, you're starting from the ground and going up. This word episteritzo would indicate that something's already there, but it just needs to be strengthened. It needs to be maybe... I don't know how we would, maybe another way to word that today, but to strengthen an individual or to strengthen one. This word sterizo, the same thing, to strengthen, to make firm. Most commonly translated, I think, establish in English. We see that used in the Gospels, Luke 22:32, and in Romans 1:11 and 16:25, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, James 5:8, and these other places. These are many passages. We could turn and look at them, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. I'm just giving them to you so you can have them in your notes. But I want us to think about those terms. When we're talking about building up the body of Christ, we're talking about not just strengthening the group, although that is part of it. It is making sure that everything is foundationally sound and making sure that it is all coming up and strengthened in the same concepts, in the same doctrine, in the same teachings, so that we are all built up to the same suitable level, so that whatever Satan has to put before us, we are ready, willing, and able to defend or to defeat through the hand of God. When is the church built up? Well, the first way the church is built up is when the members grow in Christ. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." When the members grow, the church is being built up. Not the membership growing, although that's a part of it too, but when the members grow. Now with that, we look at Colossians 2:19, "Not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." He talked about that. He's talking about growth there as well. Part of that growth is shown in one's spiritual maturity. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:48, very end of the chapter there, Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, Jesus, I think, had an understanding that they weren't going to be perfect right away, but there was a growth process. What Jesus is putting forth for them is the end goal. What are you growing towards? You are desiring this. You're desiring to be perfect. And we strive to be as close to that as we can be. And that comes with maturity. It doesn't come right out of the gate. And it can't come right out of the gate. Just like an infant does not come out of their mother's womb running a 40-yard dash, the new Christian is not going to be one who comes out and is ready to be perfect as the one who has been serving the Lord for many, many years. But he grows towards that. He grows into that as time goes. You think about Hebrews 5:14, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." There is a depth that we have to get to in the Word of God. And we have to plunge into that depth as we continue to grow. Now, as we think about that very point right there, you know, one might say, well, if you're going to be preaching a first principle lesson that's going to be geared towards one part of the congregation, how am I going to grow with that? How's that going to help me? I know that stuff. Well, perhaps we can look at it from the perspective that Peter had as he was writing in 2 Peter. He told the people, as he wrote to those people, he said, "I'm bringing these things to your mind by way of remembrance." He knew he was telling them things they already knew, but he was reminding them. And maybe we need to look at it as a reminder to reinforce ourselves. But also what we can do is we can, when I say declare, I'm not trying to say that you need to, this is not a way to get ugly about this, but if there is something that you want, as Dan mentioned in the announcements, there's a suggestion box back there. If there's an area that you need help with or you need a lesson on, that's where you help the group by saying, hey, I'd like to see a lesson on this, or I'd like to see a lesson on that. And there's not going to be the need to necessarily identify where the concept came from on the part of the preacher, just the idea of presenting the lesson from God's Word and showing what God has to say about this and that. But that's what we do. That's how we grow. We grow in that way. We grow in studying the Word and delving into it constantly and seeing things the second time that we didn't see the first. Ephesians 4, 13 and 14, Paul writes there, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. He's writing there about the need. What does he say? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith? Why are we attaining to that? Well, we're attaining also to mature manhood so that we may no longer be what? Children carried about, blown about by everything. We don't want to be that. We want to be anchored and strong. When members are strong, when members grow in Christ, we're growing in our maturity. We are growing the way that the Lord wants us to. We're growing in Him. And you might say, well, you just said this again, when members are strong in the Lord. Well, many times we see these topics talked about interchangeably, and they're addressed in different places, different ways. When members are strong in the Lord, we look at Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. As Paul's writing those two letters, he's in jail. We need to remember that, the context of the letter. Yet what's he encouraging in them? Their need to be strong in the Lord. Why did they need to be strong in the Lord? Because they might be in the position he's in. When the church is being built up, members are growing, but members are strong. They're anchors. They're anchors for the work. They are anchors. Their faith is anchored in the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Paul's saying there, this is at the very end for Paul. I think most of us would accept that 2 Timothy might be the last letter he wrote. It certainly seems that way. But with this, what's he saying? In all of this, in all of the things that he went through, he says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me all the way. Where do we find our strength? When we say when the members are strong in the Lord, where do we find the strength? We find it in the Lord. We find it in study of his word. We find it in prayer with him. We find it in our brothers and sisters in Christ when we're having difficult times, by communicating those to them. It may be in private, it may be in private, it doesn't have to be in public. But when members are strong in the Lord, these types of things happen too. The leaning, we go back to our definitions. We talked about at the beginning that word epistarizo. And the word sterizo, to strengthen. The epistarizo, to make, to lean upon. You think about that, and that's really what we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to grow into, is to the idea of being one that can be leaned upon. That can accept, not, and I don't want to say carry the burden of another, but help that one carry that burden. We're not carrying it all ourselves. We're not throwing it all upon us. But we can be those who can help carry that burden, whatever it might be. In Paul's case, he is communicating with others about what he has gone through and encouraging them to be strong. And I believe in his encouragement to them to be strong, he is gaining strength. But also we see him recognizing that he leaned upon the Lord. And when we are strongest, where are we at? When we're strongest, we're with the Lord. We're under his wing. We're leaning upon him for nurture and support in whatever we go through. When members grow in knowledge is another way the church is built up. You notice I haven't said numbers yet. I haven't said that yet. But anyway, we'll get to that later. But when members grow in knowledge, the church is being built up. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter first says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that is, that by you may grow up into salvation. That by it, rather, you may grow up into salvation. And you think about growing in knowledge, and we go to Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, what's the difference in the two passages? One's encouraging those to long for the spiritual milk. Peter's recognizing the status of the people he's writing to. They're young in the Lord. They may not be young people, but they're young in the Lord. So they need a foundation first. The Hebrew writer's acknowledging the people he's writing to should have known by now. They should have been growing into. This would be akin to a 14-year-old taking a bottle of Enfamil. Is that really helping the child? No. By that point in time, the child needs to be growing into that physical maturity. Food-wise, spiritually speaking, there is a maturation process. There is a growth process that must happen, and we need to be doing that ourselves, for ourselves, but also as we need stuff. Well, that's a really high-tech way of saying it, isn't it? As we need stuff. As we need things from the gospel, as we need those lessons, let's not be afraid to lay out, hey, I'd like to hear something on this. I'd like to hear something on that. So, and this is not, and let's not mistake that with what Paul writes to Timothy about in 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. And on further from there. We're not talking about appeasing a group. We're talking about giving someone the nourishment they need. And there's a difference in the two. There's a difference between bringing to yourself someone who's going to tickle your ear versus someone who's going to tell you what you need to know. And when members are growing in knowledge, they're learning what they need to know. They're growing the way they need to grow. And we all need to do that. We all need to be constantly growing. I was in college a long time ago now, but I went to University of North Alabama. I lived in Florence, Alabama for several years after I moved on from Florida College. And I attended at Helton Drive Church of Christ. I don't tell you that to exalt a group. I just tell you that for identification purposes. I believe Norman knows him. I believe Jerry probably knows him too. Bill Hall was the preacher there at the time. Bill's still alive and he still does some meeting work, and that's a great encouragement. But there's somebody else who was a real encouragement to me at that point in time. I was in my early 20s. And I was, as we're wont to be when we finally freed the shackles of mom and dad. And I was at a point where I mean, I wasn't weak, but I don't know that I was growing the way I needed to. There was an older man there at the time. He was in his mid-80s then. His name was Lindsey Allen. He had been one who had been an educator all of his life. And he had also been one who preached the gospel. He took it upon himself to ask, not to demand of me or my friend, but to ask, would we be willing to study with him? not because he saw in us great deficiencies. Rather, what he told me in one of those studies was this. He says, I'm 85 or 86 years old at the time. I don't remember. Like I said, mid-80s. He says, I need to continue to poke myself, prod myself. I need to continue my growth. He says, because you cannot be one. And his admonition to us has been in our early 20s was, do not get to a point in your life, to this point in your life where you are coasting. He says, rather, he says, I am continually trying to learn more. He says, I'm not hunting for things that aren't there. He says, but I'm trying to continue to ascend in my growth. He says, because I want the strongest day of my life as a Christian to be the last day that I live. He says, I think it should be that way. What he encouraged in me was a growth, a continued growth, a continued perseverance, as Paul talks about in Philippians 3, a continued pushing forward on the upward call. But another way that the church is built up is when members grow in faith. Growing in knowledge is something that is important. Growing in Christ, keeping strong in the Lord, growing in knowledge, these are things that are important all of our days as we continue to press on. Acts 16:5, we see Luke writing here, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. When we look at 2 Corinthians 10:15, we do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. Growing in faith is just like growing in knowledge and growing in Christ. They all come together. They're all three. We talk about them as three individual points, but they're all synced up together. When we grow in one, we grow in the others. And the body is built up. When members keep themselves clean from error and sin. As Paul is leaving, or I say he's leaving, he's talking to the Ephesian elders for the last time. That he believes the last time he'll see them. In Acts chapter 20, 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. In 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3, 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Members, the warning here on both sides, from both sides. Paul to elders in Ephesus, Peter to the people he's writing to. Be able to see, to be able to sense, recognize false doctrine and be able to keep it from their midst. Keep themselves clean of it. Keep themselves away from it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. We need to keep ourselves set apart for the Lord. We think about Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. The idea of keeping ourselves clean from the things of this world, from error. What does not build the church? I told you we'd get to numbers. Now, let me say this first. It is not that we do not seek an increase in numbers. There's a process. There's a natural growth that comes in the teaching and preaching of the gospel. We're not in the business of evangelizing this section of Kansas City to not have more people come in the building. We're not doing it. That's a natural outgrowth of it. But we don't want to fool ourselves into thinking we're growing just because we have more people showing up. That's not the only growth that God's looking for. He's looking for not just numerical, he's looking for spiritual growth. Okay? The primary goal is not just slapping a number on the board. And I made this comment to my wife this morning. I hadn't said it since we got here. Every place I've been as a full-time preacher, every place I've been as a member, there's been one specific thing you could find in every building, every one of them, and I'm not kidding. And I don't even know where you'd put it here. You couldn't see it. If it was up here, you wouldn't be able to see it if you were back there. And every one of them got a board up. Attendance this Sunday. Attendance last Sunday. Weekly budget. Contribution this Sunday. Contribution last Sunday. I had a place where I preached in West Texas. And this was the most discouraging thing that ever came out of somebody's mouth in my life. They had the weekly budget up there. And a gal told me, when we don't hit that number, we're losing our shirt. I'm like, I'm not sure that's exactly the way you ought to look at it. That could get discouraging. In a hurry, if you come up there a couple Sundays in a row and you're not making that number, you might come in hanging your head. Well, that's not what God wants when he wants you coming in to worship. That's not building things up. I actually like that. I'm not saying you don't have one and that's a bad thing. I'm saying you don't have one and I like it. I like knowing that I can ask three different people here in the back because they count them. It's not the people who aren't counted. They know what the number is. And that's fine. There are different people that are counting. I know Jerry does too. Jerry's got a good firm record on it. But we've got people who know the number, and that's enough. We don't need to have it repeated on the board. We need to know. The elders need to have an accounting of the money. But they're the ones who need that accounting. We don't need that. We don't need to worry or fret about those things. That's what they can become, is worries and frets. And they can be things that tear down instead of build up. The primary goal is to evangelize the community, to edify one another. And from there, we gain our increase. We gain that. Acts 5:14, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Gaining numbers is wonderful, and it's part of the deal. But let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that that's the only way we measure growth. That's not the only way. In fact, it's probably the last way we should measure growth. We need to measure our growth individually in a spiritual way. And we need to be growing in that way. We need to measure the group's growth spiritually. First, I believe the numbers will come as God wants the numbers to come. Gaining great wealth as a congregation is going to be a side benefit. That's a side benefit of the makeup of the group. It's a side benefit of the continued building up of the body of Christ. When the body is properly built up, the contribution will match that. But we don't need to be sitting here measuring ourselves by our bank balance. That's not how we decide growth. I want you to look in Revelation 3:15-18. I know your works. You were neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. When that's given to the church of Laodicea, secular history will tell us this about Laodicea. It is secular history, so you can take that and do with it what you want to. Well, there had been, by this time, by the late first century, there had been what we would call today recessions. Maybe a depression, I don't know if it'd be quite that or not. But there had been times where the Roman government had sent out, I hate to call them stimulus checks, they're not checks. But there had been times where the Roman government had sent out, had sent to some places some financial aid as it was needed. The city of Laodicea was in such fine shape financially. They didn't need the help, which is strange. You think about it. They're inbound quite a bit from the sea, but they had some things that were specific to them that they were able to export out and maintain themselves pretty well. That church there thought they were in good shape because they were in such, they weren't dependent upon anybody. They thought they were in great shape. What they needed to be is they needed to be dependent upon the Lord. And His admonition to them is to not worry about those. You may be fine in that area, but get yourself fine spiritually is His admonition to them. And as we think about building up the body, it is a spiritual endeavor. It is a spiritual endeavor. You think about 1 Timothy 6:17-19. As for the rich in this present age, Paul writes to Timothy, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Jesus in Luke 12:15, and He said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The gaining of wealth is a contribution going up as a side benefit of the numbers going up and the evangelistic effort succeeding. But let us again not get caught up in measuring growth specifically with that metric or the other metric of numbers. Let's not get it in that area. Let's get it all together. Measure it spiritually first and foremost. And we think about this being socially acceptable is not how the church determines growth either. You look and there are some... I don't know if you'd call Joel Osteen socially acceptable or not. I think a lot of the world likes Joel Osteen. There's a facility he uses in the city of Houston. It used to be a place where the Houston Rockets played basketball. That's an NBA franchise. And back in the day when they played there, they would seat about 14,000 to 15,000. Well, he doesn't have to worry about a basketball court. I think he seats somewhere in the neighborhood of 18,000 to 20,000 and maybe more. I don't know. But becoming socially acceptable is not how the church determines growth either. And we're not worried about what the world thinks about us. I want you to think about John 15:19. Jesus speaking here, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I'm not saying we need to run around trying to be hated by everybody, but I do think we need to recognize social acceptance isn't how we're going to determine our growth and how we're going to determine if we're being built up. We're going to determine our built-upness, if you want to give me some leeway with that term. We're going to determine our edification based on spiritual metrics. Spiritually, am I growing? Spiritually, am I strong? Spiritually, am I one who can be leaned upon? Spiritually, am I resistant to temptation? That's where we're going to define our growth. That's where we're going to find how we're being built up as a body. And we think about another admonition in this respect is Acts 17:6. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." I would challenge you to have it said about you that you turned the world upside down. I would challenge that of me too. I'm not just pointing that finger out. I realize they're three pointing back. But you think about that. How was Paul and his companions described right there. There were men who turned the world upside down. As we build up the body, as we build up the body locally, as we build up the body universally, we will do so in a spiritual way. But we need to do it in a spiritual way. We need to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. And we know that. I'm not breaking new ground there. But as we think about these things, as we think about lessons that will help the group grow, if there's something you see that will help the group grow, please let me know that. I'd love to, I welcome insight from all sides of the aisle. I know I've told the elders anytime they want me to preach something there, they got my number, they know to call me, and they know what to tell me. But anybody else the same way. As we build up the body, we're trying to build up together one another. And the best way to do that is for us to be invested in one another's growth. But we need to be invested in our spiritual growth. Take out your song books if you would. It's number 309. I believe I got the number right, 309. As we get ready to sing this song, as we talk about building up the body, we're talking about building ourselves up spiritually. But if you haven't answered the call, if you haven't answered the call of Jesus Christ, then this is part of the beginning process. This is part of you laying a foundation, spiritually speaking, by coming to the Lord and beginning your walk with Him. If you've obeyed the gospel and you have done something that has left you outside the fellowship of God, well, certainly this is His invitation to you as well, to come back to Him. And as we sing this song, we want you to take advantage of this opportunity. If you have need of it, make your wishes known, because we wish to help you make yourself right with the Lord spiritually in whatever way we can. Please make your wishes known as we stand and sing.